this podcast is for you, the modern man. I'm Dr. Anne Truong, your host. I'm an intimate health medical doctor and best-selling author of the book, Erectile Dysfunction Fix. I'll do a deep dive into sexual health and performance and how it affects men of all ages and backgrounds. So let's get started and be sure to visit my website at sexualhealthformenpodcast.com for more information and resources from the show. See you on the inside. Hello there, modern man. In today's episode, we have Ken Schaefer, and I'm going to interview him about what it's like to have ED and live with ED and what he's done about it, because I want to have real conversation and bring in this out of the closet and discuss this in prime time, because these are real issues that affect a lot of men. 50% of men over 50 have ED. And that's pre-COVID, and I believe that is a lot more. So this is a very common problem that men have, that I want to reassure him that he's not alone, but there are solutions for ED, that you don't have to take that little blue pill. So Ken, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What did you first notice something wasn't right about your sex life?
Well, what I first noticed is that my erections in the morning weren't, I used to have erections in the morning and they were very sustainable. I didn't have to really try to keep the erection. And I noticed that they were becoming unsustainable. And it happened very rapidly. Within a few weeks, maybe a couple months, I was having trouble getting an erection at all.
How old were you then?
I was 47. Roughly 47.
And what occurred in your mind at that time when that happened?
Yeah, well, I couldn't believe it was happening to me. And I was extremely embarrassed about it. So this was like nearly, I want to say 15 years ago, if I'm doing the math right. And I think 15 years ago, there wasn't as much information out there and it wasn't as accessible. Mm-hmm. And I made the same mistake a lot of guys make. I went to my doctor, who was a GP, and he referred me to a urologist. And I made the mistake of assuming that they knew what they were doing. And all they did was test my testosterone and throw a Cialis at. At first, it worked great. But then after a while, it stopped working. And that's when I really had to start digging in to figure things out.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What did you think at that time when you first found out, and you said it was pretty quick, what did you think was causing underperformance at that time? Or did you know it was ED?
I think deep down I knew it was ED. I wanted to believe that it was just like a temporary stress or whatever. But after a while, I began to realize it was ED, and it was a pretty severe case of ED. So yeah, I was in denial for a while.
Okay. Like you said, what was the first feeling that you had when you found out? This is ED. You said it was shame. And what else? Denial. What else?
I was just very ashamed. I didn't realize at that time how common it was. I thought I was alone. I thought there were very few. I mean, I knew other guys had ED, but I thought the numbers were quite small. So I went to the extent of I created a special Google account to do my research so that no one would know what was going on. I was being paranoid about it, but I went to that extreme.
Wow. So what were the emotion that you felt that you didn't tell anyone, that you were embarrassed about? I mean, did you tell your wife at that time?
Oh, my wife knew. My wife at the time knew. She wasn't particularly supportive. That's a whole other conversation to have, but she wasn't very supportive. She knew what was going on. Fortunately, the band-aid of using Cialis, it worked well for quite well for a while. And I never thought to look for anything beyond Cialis. It never even occurred to me that there were other treatments available.
Okay, so when you took Cialis, did you think your ED was gone? You don't have to worry about anything. I mean, you took Cialis, you're just like, oh, I'm good. I'm 100%. Is that what it made you feel?
No, I mean, I wasn't happy about having to take Cialis, but it did work. It had the desired effect.
How long did it work for?
It worked until I was in my early 50s. And then it kind of worked okay for a while. And then eventually it just stopped working.
So, how did ED affect your confidence, not just in the bedroom, but in your life?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it didn't affect my life too much outside of the bedroom and outside of my marriage. I had this inner sense of being less than a man because I needed to use Cialis, but I don't recall like it affecting my work or anything else. This was a while ago, so I don't really have clear memories of all that.
Okay, so how did it affect your relationship with your wife, with your
Well,
ED?
my wife at the time, it wasn't a very good relationship to begin with. And this was kind of like the nail in the coffin, one of several nails, but yeah, it was not a good situation. But it is what it is. It's over now.
Gotcha. So, did you think, and we do know that when there's relationship tension, that also affects sexual function. So, was it the relationship tension, or was it more of a physiological part that you think may have contributed to the ED 17 years ago?
I think not feeling supported definitely did affect me. My ED was severe enough where I was going to have ED regardless of whether or not I had support, but it just added to the pressure and to the anxiety and to everything else. So it didn't help. I'm not sure how much it directly affected.
Gotcha. So the relationship ended. That was your ex-wife. And
Yes,
okay.
that ended, and yes.
Right. So the ED, kind of like you said, kind of like one of the components that kind of pushed it over that
Right.
ended their relationship. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that's happened, but what you're telling me is not unusual. I hear that, unfortunately, most often than not, when I treat patients in your office, that the ED either affected their marriage or is now like the wife is giving them do something about it. So it affects two people. ED is a two-person problem. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, you're in a relationship, it's a two-person problem that of one. And we do know that a supportive partner is actually a treatment for ED as well. It's one of the treatment for ED. And then conversely, not a supportive partner is contribute to ED. So partner relationship is the component of treatment for ED. So something to consider about, and hope that in a future show that I like to have a man and a woman that are in a relationship with ED and have them discuss about this and share this as well. And I would love to do that another show. So you said you tried Cialis. What frustration did you have with the Cialis or the traditional treatment?
Well, at first, my frustration was just the limited availability. I was given four pills a month.
Oh my goodness.
At that time, there was no generic Cialis. So, unless you wanted to pay a lot of money out of pocket, you were limited to four uses. That was a big frustration. Another frustration, most of my frustrations developed once the Cialis stopped working.
Gotcha. So, why did it only give you 4 a month at that time? That was what insurance covered?
That's what insurance covered, right?
Right. I think at that time, Cialis about $65 a pill, was quite expensive.
I remember it as being more than that, but it was expensive. And yeah, if you wanted to have sex more than once a week, you were going to pay out of pocket.
Yep. So that's what insurance companies think, right? You should only have sex once a week, and you have more, you got to pay for it as well. And that's no insurance company or no one should dictate how often you should have intimate relations. You brought up a good point. I didn't even think about that because now Cialis is a generic, so it's cheaper, but not necessarily it's the best. When did you find out that traditional treatment weren't really helping you that much and you needed to seek other options?
Yeah, so I got divorced and remarried, and I began to notice with my new wife that it was working quite well at first, and then over time it was working, but it wasn't working like it used to. And then eventually it just stopped working. I was in panic mode. I was in a relationship with, a good relationship, and I didn't want anything to risk that. So I start that that's really what got me started down a long path of trying to find alternatives to these traditional treatments that, as you've pointed out, they only treat the symptoms, they don't really treat the underlying cause.
And that's the thing with ED medication. I've been saying this over and over again, is that it's like putting a band-aid on an infected wound. It doesn't treat the cause of why you have ED. And it may just be that time, maybe high blood pressure or stress or overweight or diabetes, a high cholesterol, sleep deprivation. There's multiple common factors. That's why ED is so common, guys. It's that it's like the commonest thing affect you, like sleep, smoking, not exercising, overweight. Those things can affect you as well. So that's why ED is more common than you think. What finally did you decide, you know what? Okay, pill doesn't help. And most guys will go, well, let's try TriMix or try implant. What made you feel like you need to seek other alternative besides a penile implant? Was that offered to you at that time?
No, I went to my GP and she referred me to a urologist. And to his credit, I was talking about an implant. He was like, "We're not there yet," to his credit. However, he failed to impress me as a doctor. He gave me a testosterone test, which is normal for men with ED. I looked at the results and I could see that that was a problem. And before I talked to him, I started digging through the scientific literature to verify that what I suspected was true. He looked at the results, and because they fell within the normal range, he felt there was no problem. Even though my free testosterone was right at the very edge between normal and below normal. And I knew at that point that I didn't respect his knowledge on this subject, and I ceased seeing him for treatment. I then went to an endocrinologist who specialized more in diabetes treatment. She wanted to help, but she didn't understand the nuances of TRT. And I think I'm drifting away from your question here. Am I staying on track or am I drifting?
No, I think you're there, but let's move on to the next one. Is that I know you have mentioned this before that you feel that traditional treatment with urology was not addressing what you really needed. What did you mean by that?
Well, I wanted to find out what the root cause was. I went into the urologist thinking, I want tests to find out what the root cause is. Even at that point, I understood that there are many possible causes for ED and more treatable than others. And if mine was going to be easy to treat, I wanted to know that. And if it was going to be difficult to treat, I wanted to know that as well. He had absolutely no interest in doing, he just wanted to give me Viagra or Cialis.
I see. What were you afraid of before, like starting taking Viagra? Were you, I mean, or Cialis? You said, what were you afraid of anything before you started taking?
No, I probably should have been, but I wasn't. I just thought that I just accepted what my doctors were telling me. I didn't really, and I don't know what was publicly available. I didn't realize what the side effects were. So I wasn't afraid, but I probably should have been.
Right. So you said, well, it stopped working. You went to your urologist and your numbers were just at the bottom, but not yet insurance qualified as being low. So you weren't qualified for insurance coverage for testosterone replacement therapy. What was your journey? What did you do to kind of start taking over what you needed to do for your sexual performance again?
So at that time, my understanding of ED was much more limited, but I strongly suspected that my testosterone levels were the cause. I now know that that wasn't the sole cause. It may have been a contributing cause, but, and I was looking for doctors who understood how to treat guys with testosterone deficiency and understood that just because you're within the normal range, that doesn't mean you're healthy. I read a book by Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, which confirmed a lot of my suspicions. In fact, I had looked at a lot of the same studies he mentioned in the book. I actually went to the clinic he founded. He had retired from the clinic, but I went to the clinic in Boston that he founded. And that was my first real bout with TRT. I was able to get the testosterone I needed.
But you pay for it. The insurance didn't cover that,
No,
did you?
it was all out of pocket. It
Right.
was a concierge type
Right.
service. Actually, I take that back. I was able to get insurance to cover some of the costs, but not all of it. Most of it was out of pocket.
Right. So that did that help with your ED, taking testosterone?
No. I got very frustrated because at the clinic, they were very good about helping guys with low testosterone, but they were only offering traditional treatments for ED. So they wanted to push Cialis and Viagra or Trimix. And if all else failed, they would recommend an implant. I was a bit frustrated because I felt like they also weren't, if the root cause wasn't testosterone, they weren't any better prepared than the other urologists I had seen to recommend treatment.
So, when you started testosterone, but you still were having some ED issues. What was your next step?
This is about the same time I met Dr. Rachel Ross, who you've interviewed on this podcast previously. And she was doing weekend intensives. And I didn't really know who she was, but just listening to the kind of treatments she was talking about, I was very intrigued. You know, they're very similar to the kind of treatments that you recommend. And so I was very intrigued, and I went to the weekend intensive, and then I started to work with her as a patient for a little over a year after that.
Gotcha. You kind of, your eyes were open to other alternative than implant and medication. What was the first thing you did that you've learned from that?
Well, you know, just simple things like your health. You need to address your health problems. Okay. And although I wasn't particularly unhealthy, there was a lot of room for improvement. You need to enjoy, I mean, that's basic. And it's not rocket science. It's exercise, diet, sleep, all the standard things that you learn throughout your life. You really need to take that seriously. And then there is a lot of things you can do at home, like pumping and Kegels, and in some cases, prostate massage and things like that. There's things you can do on your own that are treatments for ED. And you know that it's not that expensive to do these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And oftentimes it's too good to be true is what I call it. Okay, modern man, if you're struggling with weak erection, low energy, the food you eat could be the big part of the problem. One of the best research-backed ways to boost circulation, support healthy testosterone, and improve sexual performance is the Mediterranean diet. It's packed with food that open up your blood vessel, lower inflammation and fuel your hormone naturally. I've seen men notice real improvement in both energy and erection within weeks when they shift to this style of eating. So check out the Mediterranean diet link right here below and get that as soon as you can. Stronger testosterone and better erection. So listeners, you know, if you have ED, sometimes just changing your diet to a Mediterranean diet and check out the link below for a link to the Mediterranean diet and walking 30 minutes a week. Just move around, just at least 30 minutes at a time, you know, four times a week. Sleep, getting adequate sleep, at least 7 hours of sleep, whether daytime or nighttime, because I know, Ken, you work nighttime. And then stress management. And I know sometimes that's hard for men because men are not expressive people, you know? They internalize their feelings and they don't express emotions and feelings like women are. But oftentimes that kind of increases your stress without you really knowing it. And when your stress level is high, it produces a hormone called cortisol, which then affects the erection, which then kind of affects the nerve that create an erection. So that's how stress affect erection. But oftentimes stress is not something that we measure objectively. And sometimes we don't even know that we're stressed as well. But stress shows up. And if you have one of this, like, you know, Apple Watch or those monitors, stress shows up at increasing heart rate variance, which is the heart rate variability that you can see with stress. Even now you're gonna wear an Oura ring like this to monitor your stress level. And it'll tell you if you're stressed or not as well. And I wear this every day. And oftentimes it'll say, tell me, are you stressed right now? Your heart rate is high. And I don't even feel I'm stressed. So that's when I feel like I have to take a moment to breathe and to be in a meditative state. So you started doing instituting lifestyle, changes in your body. What did you notice? And of course, doing the penis pumping. I'm a big proponent of penis pumping, testicle massage, doing Kegel and breathing. What did you notice? And this is without Cialis, I assume.
Yes. I was actually not getting great results for a while. I was a little bit panicked by it because I was expecting to start seeing results that I wasn't seeing. Dr. Rachel Ross then recommended that I go to another doctor to receive shockwave treatment with the P shot and Botox. That was a turning point for me. Within hours of receiving the sonic wave treatment or acoustic wave treatment, within hours I was getting erections. I mean, it was dramatic. It was a dramatic change. And that was the turning point.
So you got shockwave, Botox, and the P-shot, which is platelet-rich plasma injection into the penis. Mm-hmm. You got all three at the same time?
Over the course of 2 weeks, I don't remember exactly, but I think I received four shockwave treatments or acoustic wave treatments. And
yeah, that sounds right.
I can't remember if it was more than one, but at least one P-shot. I don't remember if it was multiple. And the Botox was just once. And that was a course of treatment that went over 2 weeks.
Right. Now that's awesome because that is my get hard system of treatment is doing injecting your own stem cell, which come from your blood, which is the P shot, using your own blood to help you rejuvenate the penis, and then using shockwave. We use focused shockwaves. I don't know if you had the focused shockwave. There are two shockwaves, focused shockwave and radio shockwave. Radio shockwave is more acoustic. The focused shockwave is extracorporeal shockwave therapy, which is more strong. So we use focused shockwave, Botox, and P shot in combination. And then we also now do electrical nerve stimulation to the pelvic muscle that similar to doing Kegel. So we do all the treatment in the office and have patients actually take the Kegel stimulator machine home to do at home every day. And then I always stress, after the treatment, I always stress penis pumping, testicle massage, pelvic muscles, as well as doing box breathing and instituting the diet, the exercise, and stress management. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Modern Man Club to really help men, give them a roadmap. And now we in the Modern Man Club, we have nutritionists, we have you helping with the exercise, and now we're going to have a mindset coach that will help with meditation and that calming that performance anxiety so that way your erection can appear again, because the more you are stressed, the erection will be harder to get. So I'm glad you got that, and getting that treatment is what kind of, help the erection return again, right?
It was amazing because I had literally, I was going to go to this treatment. It wasn't cheap. I had to stay in Philadelphia for 2 weeks. So put out a lot of money. And I thought, if this doesn't work, I'm going to start looking into an implant. Uh-huh. Fortunately, it worked, but it worked great. It was a dramatic change.
And how long ago was that?
I want to say 3 years.
Okay, three roughly. Years ago. Okay. And what maintenance have you been doing since 3 years ago?
Well, I am on TRT. I pump regularly. I probably should pump a little bit more often, but I do pump regularly. Kegels, meditation, watch my diet and exercise, and sleep, because I work nights. Sleep is an issue, but I do the best I can.
Of course, you do the best. How old are you now, Ken?
I'm 62. I'll be 63 in January.
Okay, well, 62 then. You're not quite in January yet. So let me ask you this question. What does it feel like now to know that you're able to perform in the bedroom?
Well, it feels great. It's been a relief. It's just a relief. And there's room for improvement. Not everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. Not the way I wish I was performing like a 20-year-old, but that's not going to happen. But it's just one less source of stress. When you can't perform, even if you don't have a partner, you still have this constant nagging thing in the back of your head. Like, you can't get an erection. You can't have sex when you want to. you can't get into a relationship because it's not going to work out because of the, you have all these things making you feel like you're less than a man.
Interesting. Very interesting. And what you said is very powerful to really understand what goes to a man thinking at that time. So what do you wish that you knew earlier that you're finding out now? What did you wish that you knew earlier when you first had ED?
I wish I knew that most doctors do not know how to treat ED. That would have saved me a huge amount of time and given me a head start. I don't know what things were like 15 years ago when I first got ED because I didn't look past what the doctors were telling me. But I think even then, there was more. I mean, I think people pretty much knew, you could probably answer this. People pretty much knew how to treat ED, the ones who were like you, who looked into it. But most doctors simply don't look past symptom management.
Well, it's because they're not taught that. Not because they don't want to, because they're not taught that. Traditional medical training in the US is more of disease focus rather than disease prevention and not lifestyle prevention. We're focused on this is the disease, what medicine to fix it, and the surgery to fix it, right? And believe me, I come from that fact. I came from that training. I came from the training that I'm a pain management doctor by specialty, and I came from the training. If a patient had pain, give them opioid, give them steroid injection. If not, then send them to surgery. That was the mindset that I was trained on. And because doctors are not trained on sexual health, it's not even discussed upon during our training. There's no specialty that is sexual health alone, that is a board certification. So, like, urologists do it, but then family medicine do it, OBGYN do it. And so it's kind of like a mixed specialty. Unless you're really interested in it, you have to seek your own information. So that is one. And then two, it's also this uncomfortable subject. Sometimes, it's uncomfortable for patients to talk about it, and it's uncomfortable for doctor to talk about it as well. And it's also that aspect. And the third part is that it's not just they're just not aware of it. It's not an awareness in our training that, ED is so common and that the way we're thinking, well, here's the medicine, take that. I can't tell you how many patients I treat. They take a medicine for diabetes and they're thinking their diabetes gone. I don't have diabetes. All right, they will say, well, I don't have diabetes. I take metformin. So that's not true at all. The medication just helps you not get the long-term side effects of the disease. But most disease we have now are really acquired, like high blood pressure is acquired, diabetes is acquired, and high cholesterol is acquired. And all of those conditions can be gone with diet and exercise if you start on it early. And most patients don't realize that diet and exercise, you can get rid of all those medications if you just lose about 10% of your weight. And those conditions also contribute to ED as well. And so that was where I was leading that is that doctors just are not trained, they're not aware of that. Like even now, what opened up my eyes was maybe because I'm Asian, I was interested in learning acupuncture. And when I learned about acupuncture, it opens up my eyes on how the body heals and how the body operate. And there are other alternative to treatment rather than just medication and surgery alone. And that's what went, I went down the path of more functional, holistic healing. So, Ken, thank you for sharing that, Ken. So, if a man is watching this and has ED and is struggling alone, what would you want to say to him right now?
Do not just go to any doctor. You really got to spend some time researching doctors who specialize in sexual health, or at least are very knowledgeable about it. And if you have low testosterone, lower than average, I would say, you need a doctor who understands the nuances of TRT and when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. But that will be the hardest part of your journey is finding the right doctor.
You're absolutely right because there's no like directory for that. And oftentimes, even if you find a clinic that does sexual health, it may not have the whole comprehensive of testosterone replacement therapy and the P shot and the focus chakra and the Botox, all of that together. You kind of have to piecemeal it together and be a really an advocate for yourself, like what you did. But that journey is a long one, right? And it didn't just come overnight, and you have to be very persistent at it. So that was one of the reasons why I created the Modern Man Club, to give men a roadmap of what they need to do and be a resource for them. Because I truly believe ED, when it's addressed early, can be totally reversed for life. You don't need the medication, and now you create, you know, Viagra and Cialis, like opioids or pain medication. You just get addicted to them. They become a crutch until they stop working. And then you're worse off than you were when you before you started. And I truly believe that if you have ED, if you're a man, you have ED 1 to 2 years, stop taking that medication, work on lifestyle changes that can really make a big impact. And when we talk a lot that we're talking about changing your diet to a Mediterranean diet, start walking, moving more, and sleep, and then do stress management. So that's why our Modern Man Club, we have all the resources for you to do this, as well as giving you clarity on what you need to do to get out of ED, because Ken here have to figure it out himself. He had to kind of piecemeal things. We're hoping to be a resource for you. So what would you tell a man who are afraid to ask for help?
Well, that I think is become the most difficult. This has been a problem that I've really been focused on lately, is why are so few men actively reaching out for help?
What do you think that is?
I don't know, because it's so different. I'm the kind of person that if I have a problem, I'm going to exhaust every possibility to solve that problem. I'm not willing to let things go. Now, sometimes the problem isn't solvable, but I'm going to try my best. And I'm getting the sense that that is not typical, or at least typical anymore, among men. And this is something that I think is a problem, and I'm not really sure what the cause is or what to do about it, but it's definitely something I'm interested in understanding better.
Right. I agree with you. Like I said, some of it is just embarrassed, denial, and there's a saying, you don't know what you don't know. And I love that phrase. It's so true. You don't know what you don't know. Most men don't know that they don't have to take the pill, that, you know, if they can just maybe change their diet, stop eating pizza and hamburgers every day. Of course, you can eat that, but don't eat it every day. French fries every day. Maybe that will also help your erection as well. For men, your erection, the warning light in your car, the engine light, is warning you there's something going on. And if you fix it, then, and not only does it help with your sex life, it will also help with living longer and heart health as well. So it's also Mother Nature that if you are healthy, you can have an erection, then you can procreate, you can continue your DNA. If you're not healthy, then maybe your DNA shouldn't be continued. It's one thing to think about. And so let's end with this. What is the one myth about ED that you had believed in the past that turned out to be wrong now?
I think that is primarily a problem with testosterone. I know testosterone contributes to the problem, and it contributes to your overall health. And so it should be, if you have low testosterone, that should be part of the treatment. But I thought early on that if I just fixed my testosterone levels, everything was going to fall into place and my ED would be cured. And that's just not the case.
And you said you're 62, and if you do the math, you said that this started about 17 years ago. So it started kind of like in your 40s at that time. Yeah. Yep. Which is pretty early for a man in his 40s at that time. And you didn't know what you didn't know, right? You didn't know that, hey, maybe if I change my diet, maybe if I exercise more and sleep, maybe stress, all of that, you know, as well. But I'm really glad that you mentioned that. ED is a compilation problem, compilation of things that culminate in ED. It could be hormones. It could be your stress. It could be your sleep. It could be smoking. It could be porn. It could be your diabetes, your high blood pressure, your activity level. There's a lot of things that contribute to that. And that's when I say, we have ED, let's stop and just kind of like do an introspection. Just kind of do an inventory of yourself. Be real with yourself. First thing is, I advocate, you have ED, go get blood work. Definitely get blood work. Check out your blood sugar, your cholesterol level, your liver function, your kidney function, because most men don't realize they have high cholesterol or even pre-diabetes until they get blood work. I can't tell you how many times I see patients in my office for ED. We do blood work, and it shows that they're pre-diabetic and they have high cholesterol, and they haven't had blood work in like years as well. Not just not men. You know, men don't go to the doctor. They go to the doctor because their wife makes them go to the doctor. I know my husband is like that. He won't go unless I make him go. And he had pre-diabetes, he had high cholesterol, he had two stents in his heart. And that's what kind of got me into ED myself, what's happened with my husband. So I have lived through that as a partner with a husband that has cardiac issues as well. So having said that, we know the challenges that men face, and we are a resource for you guys. Check out our Modern Man Club if you're far away. And I'm here to help in my office. We do, you know, everything. We do the hormone replacement therapy and the shockwave and the Botox and the stem cell, like the P-shot as well. It's more of an integrative approach to restore function again. And like Ken, you know, he's had it in his 40s and he's now functioning and it's a smarter man about his sexual health. And I know that part of your mission is to empower men to take control of their sexual health and to help them to where you are now without spending 10 years or so trying to be your health advocate, right?
Absolutely. You know, I was passionate enough about it to write a book called A Practical Guide to Managing Erectile Dysfunction. And it's the synthesis of everything I learned and experienced over about a 10 to 12 year period.
And we'll make sure to put that link on Amazon for that book as well, too. So having said that, Ken, thank you for being here and sharing your story, your journey. And I hope all men feel good about listening to our conversation. And this is not something you should be ashamed of. This is very, very common. We're just not talking about. Let's start talking about. Let's raise awareness of this. Just know there are solutions about this as well. You don't have to take that pill. Yes, you have to do the work. I'll be honest, you have to do the work. But there is the light at the end of the tunnel. So thank you, Ken, for being here. And men, just know that we're here to help. And we're here to get you out of ED into restoration again. Check out the Modern Man Club at noedman.com. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Okay, modern men, you are not alone and you don't have to suffer anymore. ED can feel isolating, frustrating, and even defeating. The endless guessing, the quiet shame, the weight of not feeling like yourself. It's exhausting. But here's the truth. You are not broken. You are not alone. You don't have to figure this out alone anymore. The Get Wood Now Boost program is your step-by-step path to sexual confidence and restoration. No more suffering in silence. No more trial and error. Just real solution, real result, and the confidence you deserve. It's time to take back your power on your term. Let's get this journey started together. Check out the course at getwoodnow.com. I'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the Sexual Health for Men podcast. If you love this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it on Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post. And be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you like to hear in the future. That will help me know what's great for you, and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift designed to help you improve performance quickly.
go to my website at sexualhealthformenpodcast.com to get the book, The 5 Common Costly Mistakes Men Make When Facing ED. I would appreciate it if you subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and just know that you can have sexual vitality for life. I appreciate you. Until next time.